Pianist William Balcom and singer Joan Morris are among the best-known interpreters of American popular song.
You're my funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine. You make me smile with my
But William Balcom is also a composer, and until recently, this facet of his musical career hasn't been as widely recognized. This year, William Balcom was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Music for his composition, 12 New Etudes. Here's the first etude, performed by Marc-André Hamelin. William Balcom, congratulations on your Pulitzer Prize.
Thank you.
You know, in my circles, I think you're better known for your popular song music than for your composition. Do you feel vindicated now that you've gotten the Pulitzer, that, you know, people are really listening now to your composition?
Well, they were before. It's just that the whole funny part about it was people could not believe that it was the same William Balcom who would play ragtime and accompany Joan Morris, his wife, and also wrote all these compositions. Now they do know it's all the same person.
Do you think that your interest in songs and in composition represent two different sides of your nature?
Absolutely not.
Uh-huh.
There was a reason I went right into all of this sort of thing, and it really simply was because I was after sort of the basic DNA molecule of American music in the same kind of way that the French have already had it for several centuries, and the Germans and the Italians and so on, because of a sort of a long tradition which really basically comes from song. The French had, of course, the troubadours, and the Germans had the master singers. And we have our own troubadour and master singer still alive.
Irving Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the new set of etudes that have just been recorded by Marc-André Hamelin. Is there an idea that unites these etudes?
Well, in the very much the same kind of way as the first set of etudes. This is the second set of etudes I did. These mm-hmm. were all what you might call piano problems, pianist problems for 20th century piano music. And there are certain special technical needs which are quite different from the ones the 19th century might have had. So that was, of course, one of the unifying factors, and they're always annotated at the very beginning of each of the etudes. What are the things to watch out for? Often enough, there are questions of sonority, use of pedal, also leaps, kinds of things which are, you know, very special to our particular period of piano music.
The eighth etude is called Rag Infernal.
Yeah.
And the description there is lateral hand jumps and stretches, use of practically no pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, really, this is an example, I think, of a piece that perfectly unites your composition and your interest in ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that there's something new that you learn when you combine two ordinarily separate areas like that?
Oh, sure. I've always felt that all of these various styles that we have of a particular time do have a kind of consanguinity and unity. This is something we've always been able to see in retrospect, but we can never see while it's happening. And this is the kind of thing which is normal until the 20th century, in which we were all expected to just do one thing. And I'm just simply, in a way, strangely becoming more traditional than everybody else.
These etudes were written for other pianists, initially for Paul Jacobs, and
that's
then,
right.
Then he passed away, and it's recorded now by Marc-André Hamelin. Could you play these yourself? I mean, how come you didn't write them for yourself?
Well, actually, if I wanted to practice them, I could. But life has been so crazy recently, and so much has been going on, that I'm perfectly delighted to give them to another pianist.
You used to say that when you started composing, you worked as if someone were looking over your shoulder. What made you feel that way when
What happened was that in those years, in the 50s and early 60s, there was a kind of repressiveness around, a kind of international imposition of a kind of a modernism, which really was nothing really wrong with it in itself. What was wrong was a sort of feeling, as Eugene Kurtz, the composer, put it once. He says, it was as if somebody were looking over your shoulder. You must not use a triad. You must not use an octave. You must not use anything that will remind anyone of past music. And so many of us have made our own kind of rebellions against this. In my case, it was in about the middle 60s where I began to say, this is really ridiculous. I can't continue this way. And besides, already I had started to work in vernacular idioms. That was my salvation, I think.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel more uninhibited now? Is there any longer someone looking over your shoulder, so to speak?
Well, I suppose even in the days when somebody was looking over my shoulder, I was snarling back at them. So I don't think I ever really quite felt repressed. But I do find now that I am more or less accepted for what people think I am, whereas in the other times it was very possible to put me down categorically because I was involved with things that were not considered kosher.
I want to ask you about your Symphony No. 4. Now, part of that symphony, which has just been recorded by the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra with Leonard Slatkin, part of that symphony is your setting for a poem by Rethke.
Yes, Theodor Rethke.
And in many songs, what makes the lyric really singable is this vernacular ease with which the line can be sung. And I think that a lot of poems are really different in the way they're written. For instance, you know, a Gershwin line, like, they're singing songs of love, but not for me.
Right.
Reads really differently than, among the half-dead trees, I came upon the true ease of myself, as if another man appeared out of the depths of my being.
Right.
I mean, which is a line from the Rethke poem.
Right.
It's a beautiful line, but it's much denser in a way than a Gershwin line.
Well, it's just a different kind of thing. First of all, you're not dealing with the same kind of strophic atmosphere that you would have in the usual popular song. It's a question of the sounds of the words themselves. Will they open up to the scrutiny of being read aloud? And I think you can go through any number of poems today, and you can find some that look very nice in the page and will not sound well, and others which will sound beautiful as they're read. And Rethke always sounds well.
And in this
setting for The Rose for your wife and longtime collaborator, Joan Morris.
That's right.
And do you hear her voice when you're composing the music?
Well, I heard her voice, but I also have no illusions about the fact that other people could do it as well. This is perfectly all right with me. I think what was very important for me, however, to have Joan do it is because Joan is aware of poetic values and literary values, often to a level that many other singers simply just don't have because of her very strong literary background.
You're used to being a performer. When somebody is playing a composition that you wrote and you're actually sitting in the audience instead of being on stage performing it yourself, are you nervous? What's the difference between the kind of nervousness you experience being in the audience as someone else interprets your music and the kind you might experience when you're on stage playing yourself?
Well, of course, I mean, my wife sits next to me and she says, I die a thousand deaths. I sort of go through all kinds of, I mean, you know, I fidget, I move around in my seat. I'm really impossible to sit next to. Sometimes I can sit there with total calm and just watch the person either play it well, or if they're really dreadful, I can just sort of sit there shaking my head, you know, in disbelief as the piece is being destroyed before my ears. But it just depends. I found that it's a lot to do with the first few minutes of how a person is playing the piece. If I have a feeling they have a certain kind of confidence, seem to understand what they're doing, even if they differ from my interpretation, there is a certain amount of tolerance. And I'm very thankful to that.
William Balcom, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
William Balcom's new compositions, 12 new piano etudes, and Symphony No. 4, have just been released on New World Records. Thank you. This is Fresh Air.